Good morning. I didn't really have a scripture to go along with this for a reading, so I am going to start with a picture. Anybody know what's up there yet? Too early to know. You know what's up there yet? Okay. Anything look wrong with that so far? Anything wrong with that so far? How about that? It's getting choked out. Does anybody know what we're talking about? Okay, that's right, the parable of the sower. This past weekend, there's been a lot of damage come from storms this year, and there's a big storm that came through Mitchellville last Sunday afternoon going into the night, and it going through the town, it amazes me to see trees that it would take three people to get their arms around, linked together, totally uprooted, taken completely out of their roots, and laid across the street, laid across houses. But that's what I've seen going through town this week. Maybe their roots aren't quite as strong as they used to be. It also made me think a lot of one of my favorite stories in the Bible, which is the parable of the sower, because it describes every one of us in some shape or form. How rooted are we in the Word of God? And no matter how strong we think we are, none of us are immune to the attacks from Satan, just as none of the hugest trees are immune to the attacks of nature. Many trees have lost branches in our neighborhood, and how quickly, within just a couple days, those branches wither up and all the leaves are brown and dead and look terrible as the sun has scorched them in this heat that we've had the last few days. I want to go to Mark 4 now, verses 3 through 20. That's where we find the parable of the sower. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and some brought forth 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, and not perceive, and hearing they may hear, and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven of them. And he said to them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they which were by the wayside, and the word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan come forth immediately, and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown in stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulnesses of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. This parable captures everybody from all walks of life. The ones that are in the world that just hear the word and then forget it, down to us that were raised in the world, that are raised in the word, and grow up having good soil. We are all mentioned in some stage. We all rely on the strength of the farmer or the sower that planted us in the word and our willingness to receive it. That a lot of times being our parents or somebody that has brought us to church, whether it be a friend or whether we marry to somebody inside the church. We rely on their willingness to tend to us and make sure that we aren't choked out. The bad sower will plant his seed and weeds will come up and ruin all that he's planted and look at his field and foolishly wonder what's happened. And a good Christian will nurture his or her family to make sure that Satan, also known as the weeds, will be gone and taken up and hewn up to where they won't choke us out. As the parable says, some will hear the word, but they aren't going to listen to it. They're going to refuse it. Whether it be just their bad environment that they've grown up in, they're just not gonna listen. They're having too much fun being bad. And we're told that people are gonna be like that. But everybody has heard of Christ. I don't think you could go anywhere and ask for a show of hands, as Tim said in his talk last week, and have people not have heard, at least. We don't always pay attention to the fact that these are situations that all occur in the church as well. We all believe that we are on the inside looking out, and some of us here this morning are on the outside looking in. Sometimes we fail to pick up the seed that isn't planted on good ground and replant it in deeper and better soil. We see it happening around us. We see people bring in other souls that haven't been rooted strongly, and they drift away when times get rough. It takes work. You have to pick them up. Some of us bring a person to church and a lot of times it happens in dating, and whatever the situation, it doesn't work out, and that person still might have an aching for the word. They still might want to be a Christian, but with no spiritual base in their past, it makes it hard. And the loss of that somebody that they had close that they were dating, or that friendship, they don't have that sower to watch over them anymore, and they fall away. If we have our roots in the rocks of the world, with just a little bit of soil, then we hear something at church being said against those people, and we become offended by it. And being offended by it and not having anybody to talk us out of it or tend to those matters in our lives, then we fall away. That person's going to fall away. We are all defensive when it comes to our earthly families and how we are raised. And a lot of times we can say bad things about the way we were raised up, but when the second somebody else agrees with you and starts to say that basically the same things that you were saying, then you start getting offended because it's not you saying them, it's somebody else saying them now. And you get defensive of your family. And that can become a stumbling part. Revelations 21 and 8. But be fearful, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all the liars shall have their part in the lake of which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The sun scorched the plants that weren't on good soil and they burned, just like the ones that aren't the Christians that don't have their roots firmly planted where they should be will be scorched eventually in the second death. If you go to verses 5 and 6, you'll find that being sun scorched and being hell scorched are two terrible things to think about. It's easy for us to overlook hell and its eternity because we've never personally experienced it. When we study about Lazarus and the rich man, when the rich man died, he begged for somebody to tell his brothers about the Lord so that they wouldn't have to suffer the same torture he was going through. And he was told, well, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the rich man said, no, they're not going to listen to them. And the only way they're going to listen is somebody come back from the dead and do something miraculous to get them to believe. And he was told that's not gonna work. If they're not gonna hear them, they're not gonna hear you or anybody else. Many in the world are this way, but sadly some come into the building that are that way. It's easy to get caught up in the cares of the world. We have all heard the saying that you can't see the forest through the trees. Sometimes we can't see the garden through the weeds. Do you let the weeds of the world wrap around you and choke you out? Or do you have strong enough roots to get rid of the weeds around you and thrive anyway? Family events scheduled during meeting times, because that's when the people of the world's most free time is, during Sunday morning or Sunday night, working when you don't have to, just need a break from everything, and Sunday's the day that you can take a break. Nobody needs to take a break from God. Time to sort things out. If you're not using God in the Bible to sort things out, then you're going nowhere fast. If you think you've got a better way than the Bible says, and some of the things that the Bible talk about in it are barbaric and God handles things too rough, If so, then you have the weeds wrapped around you, and you're being misled and you're being pulled by what the weeds are of the world are telling you. What are your roots wrapped around? Are they wrapped around the Word? Or are they being choked out by the weeds? Verse 19 in Mark, the third chapter, or fourth chapter, states how the cares of the world and the riches have caused the ones that have heard the word to become unfruitful. Do you have time to be fruitful spiritually? Do you take time to be fruitful? Some of us have a hard time putting our roots in the soil for 2 hours on Sunday morning when it comes to God. Our roots are so tangled up with other things in our lives, so many weeds, we can't absorb the water, and the weeds drink us dry. Sometimes when I was growing up, I remember that my mom would help her in the garden and would let me use a hoe to cut down the weeds. But sometimes the good plants and the weeds were so hard to tell apart, it'd be hard to tell which ones you were supposed to cut down. An outsider looking at us could look at a person and they look just like everybody else. They act just like everybody else. And when we say that we're a Christian, then they're surprised. I didn't know you're a Christian. You look so much like a weed, I couldn't tell. No man can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and man. James 1, verses 23-24, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Is this the way we are? Luke 21, verses 34-36. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unaware. For as a snare it shall come up on all them that dwell in the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. We need to be watchful and prayerful that we are in the right mindset and are ready for God to come. We need to make our roots deep. If you unite yourself with a weed as a plant that's supposed to be become fruitful, such as in the companionship of marriage, they will pull you, they will start to pull at you the wrong way. And then the other weeds of the world will uproot you, and someday you'll sit there and you'll wonder what happened to your closeness to God. And it disappoints me to see us grow as Christians all our lives. When it comes to marriage, which is so key to where our growth continues and to where our future seed is sown as an adult, we choose to, as a good plant, choose a weed for companionship. Sometimes with no intentions of bringing them to church and making them beautiful before God, I'm not happy for people to marry somebody that we've never seen and probably will never see in this building. It hurts me because that person is having their roots pulled out and they don't even know it. They don't even realize it yet. We aren't to take pleasure and the sinfulness of the world around us. And we aren't to indulge in it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. The year of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Ephesians 4, verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. What happens when you plant a seed with just a little dirt? The same thing that happens when you bring a child up with just a little bit of God. Some false teachers will tell you that all you have to do is pray with me today and you're going to be saved. Carried away by the cares of the world doesn't mean just a prayer and then you're going to be saved. It's a life partnership. If you play with your child once in your lifetime, just go out and play catch with him or something, or spend a day with him and say, that's enough. I've spent my time with you. And now I'm going to do my own thing. They're going to grow up to despise you. Well, my dad never spends time with me. He spent that one day, but that wasn't enough. It's not okay with God for us to just spend a prayer with him and say we're going to be able to spend eternity with him because we said a prayer to him. The invitation that I'm about to extend isn't about where you're sowing, it's what you're becoming. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? Which one are you? Are you the plant or the weed? Where are you sowing? Where are you going up? God's not going to accept unfruitful. I'm going to use something that we read in class this morning because I think it's pretty appropriate about how God looks at sin. In the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, God is jealous and the Lord revenges, and the Lord revengeth is furious, and the Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. God's gonna get his revenge, and he's not gonna accept anything less than us trying to do our best and be fruitful for him. You have a decision to make. What are you gonna grow into? Are you gonna be a fruitful plant? Are you gonna let the world choke you out? If you're letting the world choke you out and you need help, you have an opportunity to come and tell us about it and let us help you with it. If you've decided that you want to be fruitful plant and produce forth good fruit for the Lord, and you want to make that statement in your life and become a Christian, you have that opportunity too. Is you can come forward and be baptized in his name as we stand and sing the invitation song.